Okay, so welcome. Once again, I just want to thank anyone who's on the other end for taking time out of their very busy schedule to participate in our teleseminar this evening entitled How to Raise a Healthy, Happy, and Self-Disciplined Child. You may ask, why teleseminar? Well, just as I stated earlier, my experience is that we live in a chaotic society. And in the past, when we've tried to put together programs that would pull people from their homes or having to leave work early or to leave their family unattended for dinner, it became very, very complicated. So thanks to technology, we have the opportunity to have a communication, although it's, you know, one-sided here, an opportunity to share information, something that I enjoy doing, and especially with this particular topic this evening, again, on how to raise healthy, happy, and self-disciplined children. You may ask, but, you know, Chuck Berg, you're a chiropractor. You deal primarily with neck pain, back pain, and a host of other health-related problems. Well, the answer is yes, but what my experience has been, folks, I've been a practicing chiropractor and working on holistic health counseling for almost the last 35 years, and I've had the opportunity and the pleasure and the honor of working with over 8,000 patients. And what I'd like to say is that so much of my learning has come about not only from the books, and I will say the hundreds of books that I've read on health, emotional health, spirituality, the relationship between mind, body, but also, once again, with working with all of these individuals here within my office. And being someone who's, I'm going to say, highly empathetic, I have found that it has been an amazing experience to have open discussions with people and to find out how many people have been involved with experiencing tremendous pain in their life, and I'm not talking about back pain, but seeing the emotional stressors that people have, suffering the pain, the humiliation, some of the shame-based behavior being a byproduct of what some of our parents have done with unconscious acts. So tonight, I am going to endeavor, and I am far from being an authority in this area, but I have witnessed so many individuals personally, in family, in my own family, with so many of my patients who were open and allowed me to get into their world to recognize how critical this game of parenthood is. In fact, when I began to prepare for this, I looked back through some of my material, and what some of you may not know, but almost 15 years ago, I began writing a book called The Power of a Parent. And while I'm saying that, I actually just took out a picture of my mom and my dad, who I carry in my drawer. I became an orphan this year, losing my father just about a year ago, and my mom had left us over 17 years ago. And I would just like to say that this little half-hour session is a tribute to my mom and dad, because I feel so humbled and grateful to have two parents who really understood, without any book knowledge, what love and support and nurturing was all about. And I want to thank them for allowing me to live my life through their guidance, but allowing me the freedom of choice. So with that, let me begin talking a little bit about some of these concepts. So when I started to write a book about the power of a parent, I recognized at the earliest stages, ladies and gentlemen, when we bring a new life into this world, the best metaphor that I can come up with is that we have an empty hard drive in our young child. This child is so dependent upon anything and everything that we do, and it is our responsibility, to the best of our ability, to try to, for lack of better terms, show them the way. Now, some of the problems and the challenges that we confront is that we have two people. It's called parents. It's called a mom and a dad. So tonight is really not so much about our children, But it is really a self-reflection. It's an opportunity to take a look at our own lives and maybe having the opportunity to share with our children and our grandchildren to give them the greatest opportunity for them to grow and to thrive and just to sincerely believe in themselves. Some of you may know that I wrote a book called Is Your Lifestyle Killing You? What Are You Chasing and Why? And my first chapter in this book is what I termed cultural software. Yes, because I recognized that once again, a new spirit brought into this world is but an empty slate. It's an empty chalkboard. It's an empty hard drive. Now, what I'm hoping to do this evening is to simply share with you the concept of what I refer to as conscious parenting. We live in a crazy, chaotic world where each of us is trying to balance or juggle a myriad of different responsibilities. I love the vision or the metaphor of a kaleidoscope. Everybody has had a kaleidoscope or looked through a kaleidoscope in their life, and we realize that there are many different quadrants, and they're all moving. So each quadrant can be our work life, our relationship life, our physical health and wellness life, and to try to make all of these things work is very much challenging. I recognize that, and I respect it. But when we play the game of conscious parenting, I don't know about you, but I do remember when my child, my first child, was born, and I'm grateful also to have had the opportunity to rear both a boy, you know, and a girl, and have a daughter and a son, and how wonderful it was and how different and diverse it was. But the all-important thing is I do remember saying, Chuck, you have the next 20 years of your life to really make your children a priority. So remember, I am not here. Some people must say, well, you know, where are you? Who are you as an authority? I am not an authority. All I am is a parent. I'm somebody who is very sensitive to the human spirit, and I think that I recognize a lot about human beings and feel people's pain and feel their sorrow as well as feel the joy and the glee that they have in their life. But I do remember making that commitment, and I think that for all of us, and this is a great talk, I believe, for people who are contemplating even having children. But remember, we have the opportunity to talk and to interact with people on a day-to-day basis. And as a result of some of the things we'll talk about today, once again, I'm hoping that something resonates with you that you can share with someone. Maybe it resonates with you. It's an enlightenment to your own spirit. Because here's what I've learned. We don't see ourselves as we are. We don't hear ourselves as we are. But conscious parenting is recognizing that we have a 24/7 by 365 responsibility. It does not go away. And, you know, if we fast forward the game of life, we're often told to, you know, begin with the end in mind. What are we looking for? You know the experience or the expression, I should say, that, you know, with children, we want to create wings and we want to create roots. So the roots represent our daily choices, actions, and habits, our value systems that we hope are good ones, are concrete ones, and those that we can share with our children, hoping that they can embrace them, but even giving them that opportunity to take a look. You know, one of the things I recognize in parenting is that we have two people coming from many times two schools of thought. So maybe a great thing to do in advance is to almost sit down well before anyone is even contemplating having a child and have two adults really sit down and create some sort of a family mission statement. You know, it's almost like creating a huddle. You know, the football player doesn't go out and 11 guys on the team and just say, okay, let's run a play. They get together for a few seconds. They call in a huddle what the play is going to be, and then each person knows what they have to do to execute. Well, running a family is really not all that different. And I think it's really important if two adults can even sit down, and maybe even before this, we need to take a real close look at one another and really discuss our values and to get a sense as to whether or not bringing a new life into this world is something that we really want to do. Human beings, we're very diverse. We have individuals that play the game of WIIFM, what's in it for me? Call it narcissism. Call it individuals who really want to just spend time comforting themselves and making their life joyful. But folks, when we take the responsibility of bringing a child into this world, you must recognize that it's not like the commercials that they provide on television, like the Michelin commercial with this gorgeous little Gerber baby sitting with a hat and making goo-goo and gaga noises. It's adorable. But as you know and I know, that is a snapshot view of a child. It's not showing the child who's developed seizure activity. It's not showing a child with projectile vomiting through a night. It's not showing the colicky child who may be that way over the course of hours, days, or weeks. So it becomes imperative in this family mission statement to really try to get a handle. And maybe I'm being a little bit, I'm thinking way out there, but boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if once again two mutual adults could really sit down and have a clear understanding of their values and to ask questions about when it comes to school, when it comes to academics, how critical is it for that child to be in the top 1%? What if that child doesn't have the neurological capabilities of being an outstanding performer in the game of academics? What if that child just doesn't have the physical skills to be the outstanding athlete? Do you, parent, have the adaptability, the clarity, and the understanding to recognize that each child that is brought into this world is unique in their own way? And the most critical and most important goal that we can have is to allow that child to feel really good about who they are. After all, folks, who are we to dictate to our children how they should live their lives? You know, this is very, very important, and in my readings, I have come to the realization that most of us will resurface at a certain point. Now, what does that word mean? Resurfacing, as I understand it, is to recognize that our mommies and daddies, to the best of their ability, provided their values. But we are unique, and we didn't come here to live out our parents' expectations. And that's why I began this program by honoring my mother and father for simply allowing me and hopefully my sister to simply be the people that they choose and want to be, but have a foundation of being good human beings, caring human beings, compassionate human beings, who when we have these respective traits and qualities can do very, very well in terms of our own levels of happiness, our own levels of pursuit, and the operative word is our own level, the uniquity. You know, I remember reading that the greatest responsibility that a parent has to a child is to help them cultivate and find their Dharma, a Buddhist word maybe for what their true potential is all about. And, you know, there are people online right now, maybe my age, 60, maybe 50, maybe 70, grandparents, wanting to hear something of maybe some value that they can impart to their children or their grandchildren. Because remember, ladies and gentlemen, some of the basic concepts that we want to provide are things like how to be a good communicator. And I don't mean in terms of being on a podium communicating, but I'm talking about what is human communication. In my heart, I truly believe that all too often, the parents are really not there for their children. Oh, yes, they are. They're providing a home. They're providing shelter. They're taking care of their fiscal responsibilities while they're being reared. But remember the expression, folks, we have two ears and one mouth, and we must use them proportionately. Too many of us, as parents, believe we have all the answers. So what we do is yak, 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 yak. When from what I've learned, the greatest gift that we can give a child is our presence. And I don't mean presence that you purchase, presence, your awareness and your being there for them. I can only call upon and speak from my own life, but I remember with hardship and challenge and brokenheartedness as teenagers with boyfriends and girlfriends, there were times, folks, I didn't have words to share to comfort. The only thing I could do was to hold my child close to me with no words being shared. And I share this with you because I remember my daughter as a teenager, a young adult, thanking me and explaining that you don't know what that felt like and how special that was. So we don't have to have amazing quotes that came from Shakespeare and Hercules and all of the other great philosophers. What we need is to lead, ladies and gentlemen, with our hearts and not so much our heads. I've learned that our heads are tainted. Our heads are what we learn through society. It's what everybody does. But all too often, folks, when we don't have answers, I ask you to go to a quiet place and listen to the whispers of your heart. When you're not sure what to do, when you're not sure what to say to your child, be there for them. All too often in the busy world of, I'm going to say men, but now with women in the workforce, it's all too often where we just don't seem to have the time that we need to give to our children. And with that, I'm just going to read a beautiful poem. Please bear with me. It's not too long, not too short. It's called To My Grown-Up Son. My hands were busy through the day. I didn't have much time to play. The little games you asked me to, I didn't have much time for you. I'd wash your clothes, I'd sew and cook, but when you'd bring your picture book and ask me please to share your fun, I'd say, quote, a little later, son. I'd tuck you in all safe at night and hear your prayers, turn out the light, then tiptoe softly to the door. I wish I'd stayed a minute more. For life is short and years rush past. A little boy grown up so fast, no longer is he at your side, his previous secrets to confide. The picture books are out away. There are no children's game to play, no goodnight kiss, no prayers to hear. That all belongs to yesteryear. My hands once busy, now lying still. The days are long and hard to fill. I wish I might go back and do the little things you asked me to. Wow. A beautiful little poem kind of summarizes a little bit about presence and the ability to be there for our children. Folks, this game of life is very, very short. We rent space here on this planet for a relatively short period of time. Very briefly, I want to talk about a few. I'm not going to read all of them, but the 10 traits of conscious parenting that I wrote down. Number one, empathy. Folks, all of you out there listening, as I shared earlier, lead with your heart and not your head. Our hearts are our authentic selves. Our heads are things that we've learned. Society's telling us what to do. It ain't always right. Remember, the healthiest children on the planet have the highest level of EQ. That is your emotional quotient. It's not so critical about their IQ unless it is for you, parent, and your ego. Communication. As I shared earlier, remember we have two ears and one mouth, and please learn to use them proportionately. Family leadership. Mothers and fathers, we must be a mentor. Children will follow us regardless of what we do, the good and the bad, and none of us are all good and all bad. So honor yourself and forgive yourself for things that you may have done. A child is shouting out without words, saying, please show me the way. And a question I ask for each and every one of you is, how do you show up, moms and dads? What kind of behavior patterns are you manifesting as the mentor of your family? Please remember, our job is to be the model and not the critic. Who you are speaks so loudly, you need not open your mouth. Family leadership, it's critical. We must work on developing our own character. It was taught to me in some of my readings where it said, you've got to work harder on yourself, Chuck, than you ever work on your job. So I know society tells us, get out there and make $1 million, give all the stuff that you can to your kids, make it a better life. I've learned it's not a better life by more that you have. It's a better life by what you're able to give them in terms of your philosophy, your ability to share your love, your support, your compassion, and your presence for them. Anyway, I don't want to spend too much time, ladies and gentlemen, on just more and more and more philosophy and wisdom, but just a few more points, and I'm going to read one more short little poem, and we'll call it a night. I'm asking every one of us to become a bit more selfless. Yes, in a world where our ego dominates and our ego is all about me, it's all about I, what every book will teach us, it's about our service and what we're able to give. Teach our children about servicing others. If they can find their dharma, their purpose, their joy in supporting and helping and creating healthy people. I have an affirmation, folks, that I read to myself every morning to show up, Chuck, as the best, most compassionate, most supportive person that you can be. Leave every human being that you have met that day feeling just a wee bit better about who they are. Because there's magic in this life that you can't help but feel good about yourself when you're servicing other people, whether it be a product, a service, or an idea. Be the most compassionate person you can be. It will yield to your own happiness and the happiness of your children. Teach your children a little bit about goal setting. Let them believe, raise the bar for what they're capable of doing. I thank my mother. She had great intuition. She first of all told me that I was great with my hands. Her thought, dentistry, didn't work out for me. But more importantly, look at what happened, not because of her, but synchronistically, I found my work as a chiropractor, which in Latin means by hand only. So thank you, Mom, for helping me find my dharma. Raise the bar for our children. In my book, I wrote, cross-culturally and around the world, most of us, ladies and gentlemen, just don't feel good enough. We're not smart enough. We're not good-looking enough. We're not thin enough. We're not intelligent enough. We're not a good enough parent. We're not a good enough child. It's enough to make ourselves crazy and neurotic. So help your child to believe in themselves. Honor them. you know, getting back to how to create self-discipline, children, sometimes parents want to be martyrs. We want to do everything for our children. And I've learned from my 103-year-old grandmother when she was lying on her deathbed saying to me, Chuck, I wish I didn't do everything for Mom. And I understand what she's talking about. The children must find their way. And in the meantime, suffering they must, because every human being will suffer and go through difficult times, and we cannot save them, nor should we, because it's only through our suffering, it is only through our breaking open that we will evolve in our maturity, in our understanding of ourselves, and our personal self-growth. Lastly, a beautiful little poem. It's called I Am the Child. I am the child. All the world waits for my coming. All the earth watches with interest to see what I shall become. Civilization hangs in the balance. For what I am, the world of tomorrow will be. I am the child. I have come into your world, about which I know nothing. Why I came, I know not. How I came, I know not. I am curious. I am interested. I am the child. You hold in your hand my destiny. You determine largely whether I succeed or fail. Give me, I pray you, those things that make for happiness. Train me, I beg you, that I may be a blessing to the world. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that in this short share, this session on what makes a happy, healthy, successful people happy, healthy children, the goal for me is to walk away with something that you can resonate with. More importantly than to that child, take a look at yourself. They're looking at us for the guidance and the support. Once again, we are here for short periods of time, and the greatest gift we can give is the gift of belief in oneself. And that is what I'm asking you to give to your children, your friends, your neighbors, your grandchildren. Thank you very, very much for your time. Please spend a moment or two thinking about what we've spoken about. Write down two or three things that you want to change in your world, and please go out and share this with a child. Have a great evening.